Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 6. Spirited. I was lying in the caravan that Asafa had procured for my journey southwards. As I was reflecting upon my destiny and the choices that I had made, I was brought out of my soulful reverie by a few frantic cries. The caravan seemed to have stopped midway. I peered out of the curtained windows to see if I could find the source of all the commotion. I could not see anything, but now I could hear people screaming and women pleading frantically. Something was terribly wrong. I could feel it. I alighted from the caravan and moved towards the source of the chaos. I saw a group of people huddled around something or someone in the middle of the road. We were passing through a small town that lay midway on the road to the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa. I tried to view my way through the horde and saw a man in the midst, sitting on his knees. He appeared to be despondent. His head hung limply on his shoulders, and he appeared to be crying. But that did not explain the frantic screaming that I had heard from the caravan. It was terrible. I asked an onlooker as to what had happened to make the man scream in such derision, and he looked at me in a funny way and said that he had heard no one scream. I was confounded. I asked him as to who the man was, and he replied, "He is a common laborer in the coal mines that lie to the west of this village. He has been sitting here in the middle of the road since morning. At first people thought he was simply drunk or drugged at worst, but when they tried to take him to a doctor, he lashed out viciously and started abusing them in unknown languages. He spoke in many different voices and screamed at all who dared touch him. Yet he caused no harm to any of them. We believe that he has been infested with evil spirits. The witch doctor that we had summoned to exorcise them tried in vain to drive them away. Though he has been silent for a couple of hours now, we locals think that the spirits might be eating through his body. Eventually he shall die. It's God's will," he muttered. I looked at the man who sat on the ground. I perused him intently, for I was curious as to what pained him to scream out in such unsettling tones. As I approached him, I felt a strange wave of thrill ride up my spine. It was the same feeling of intuitive anticipation that I had felt when I had approached the ailing youth on the streets of Cairo. I looked at the man for a second time, but not with my humane eyes. I looked at him through my inner sensibilities and tried to navigate through the multitude of resonating frequencies of human thoughts to try and find any discrepancy in the energy flux that surrounded that man. I reached out into his aura and sensed the presence of an energy that was unlike any that I had perceived around me. The villagers, through their mundane analysis, had inadvertently come to the right conclusion. This man had to be exorcised of the spirits that infested his body. I looked at him long and hard as I contemplated on the ways that I could cure him of the madness that raged within. I don't know what made me do so, but I touched his brow with my hand, and in an instant he lashed out at me, looking into my eyes with a defiant stare that communicated the madness and the chaos that reigned within. It was bone-chilling. I looked into his eyes with a pointed glance as he answered the challenge with a burning stare and a defiant grunt. I looked at him and kicked him hard in his back as he fell to the ground, cowering in fear. I knew that the spirit had taken cognizance of my presence there. I meant to drive it out through any and all means possible. I looked into his eyes once more and stared long and hard, silently waging a war with the energy that infested his human self. The energy, or the spirit, was not native to him, and thus he was languishing in its presence as his body was burning up. He would have died shortly, and then the spirit would have left his body only to seek another victim. I looked hard into his eyes. It was a battle of wills, and finally, mine persevered. He collapsed in a heap in front of me as his family gathered around him in haste to arrest his fall. The job had been done. I hastily made my way back to the caravan in fear of being mobbed by the crowd. But curiously, it appeared as if the crowd had not noticed anything. It was just as well. As I started to climb into the caravan, I had a paining sensation in my stomach. I felt nauseous, and the reason I knew all too well. The spirit, having now been exorcised, had taken me for its host. The energy that had left the man's body had now been transferred into mine. I knew that it was the only way I could have saved that man, and in the end, I had to be a vessel for the infestation. I hastily mixed some salt with water and gulped it down. That would work. And thankfully it did. I vomited uncontrollably on the side of the road for a few minutes. The nauseating feeling, which was previously overbearing, had now subsided in an instant. I looked at my own regurgitations on the side of the road and could clearly see the blood mixed in the slime. I smiled wryly. The spirit had satiated its thirst, and now it was free. And so was I. I climbed back into the caravan, and we continued our journey southwards towards the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa.